Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for another opportunity to come tonight. We thank you for this platform to teach the word, rightly divided. We thank you for the gospel, Lord, and that is that Jesus Christ, he died. He was buried and rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. The Bible said, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Through Christ Jesus our Lord, we thank you for the gospel tonight. We thank you for this opportunity. We pray as we study together that we, by the effectual working of the Holy Spirit, that we'll be enlightened in your holy scriptures, and we'll come from your word tonight edified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, my brothers and sisters, go ahead and get into our studies. I thought I had my, I was moving so fast. Thought I had pulled my message up. But once again, while my message is pulling up, brothers and sisters, it's so important that we study God's word, God's way, rightly divided. And if we study God's word, God's way, I guarantee you, that will eliminate the confusion that we see that's going on in the world today, my brothers and sisters, and for all those who claim they know the Bible, but they are totally confused, my brothers and sisters, because they are not studying God's word, God's way, and that is rightly divided, my brothers and sisters. So we're going to go ahead as message is pulling up here tonight as we talk about this confusion that's going on. And it's going to get worse, my brothers and sisters. Let me say that right now. It's going to get worse as time go on, my brothers and sisters. Now, we talked about God is not the author of confusion. And what does spiritual confusion look like? We must rightly divide the word of truth. And Paul told us, Colossians 2:8, he said, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men and after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. Satan will use philosophy, church tradition, and secular wisdom to mislead us. Then Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 14:33, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. My brothers and sisters, now we've been studying on Mark 16:15-18, where he said, "Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth is baptized." We went over all those scriptures, shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs, we was getting into signs, talking about shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Those are the scriptures we've been referencing as we've been doing our study. But I always have something quick that I want to get into before we get into the depths of that message right there. Chaos happens to everyone. And it's not something that anyone wants to have in their life. When we do not understand things in our life, we fear, we worry, my brothers and sisters, and we stress because we do not have the truth in us. And what is the truth? God is truth, John 17:17. His word is truth. Jesus spoke truth. You see, confusion and chaos only comes when we do not have the peace of God in us. Now, I understand that the enemy will always try to come with confusion and chaos in our lives. When we live godly in Christ Jesus, that's what happens. Apostle Paul said, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. 1 Corinthians 14:33. In 1 Corinthians 14, Paul is addressing the church of Corinth that was struggling to understand the gifts of the Spirit. But for me, I'm addressing the confusion and chaos in our studies that comes from not rightly dividing the word of truth. We will get back to that study in a few minutes on what we've been studying. But I want to share some edifying doctrine for our inner man. 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 11. 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 11, Paul said, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. My friends, when God made Adam, the first man, my brothers and sisters, he took earth and he shaped it into a physical body. Then God breathed into that body the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Genesis 2:7. That is to say, within that physical body, God placed man's spiritual body, soul and spirit. So in 2 Corinthians 4:7, what Paul's saying, we understand that Paul is referring to our physical bodies. We as human beings are literally earthen vessels, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. What is this treasure that we have in our bodies? Let's continue reading the context. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our bodies. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Notice how the Bible text actually defines this treasure in earthen vessels. Verse 10 says, the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our bodies. Verse 11 says, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Clearly the treasure in our earthen vessels is Christ living his life in us. In the midst of trouble, as was the case here, Christ empowered Paul to endure persecution. When his flesh, sin nature, was trying to overcome Paul, Christ Jesus gave Paul the strength to deny it. You read that in Romans 7:22 and Romans 8:10. Remember, it is God's power, 2 Corinthians 4:7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. If there is no peace in situations in your life, then it's not from God. God is a God of order. The enemy creates confusion to distort the truth coming forth into our minds and to keep worrying, anxiety, confusion, disturbance in our souls. The confusion from not trusting God's word keeps the tranquility from God's word from working effectually in our souls and strengthening our inner man. We have free will. We can let the Lord Jesus Christ permeate every aspect of our lives, or we can live in our own strength, which will only bring about failure when overcoming sin or difficult times because we are weak. My brothers and sisters, confusion and chaos and no peace come from religion. Let me say that. Religion is about doing things, but Christ did it all at Calvary. He paid our debt in full. We are complete in him. Nothing left to do but follow, my brothers and sisters, Paul as our pattern, because that is what the Lord Jesus Christ told us to do. You read Romans through Philemon and find out for yourself and be free from ordinances and the law. Are you following men's traditions? Romans 3:4, let God be true and every man a liar. Trusting God and his word is the reason why even in some of the saddest moments of our lives we smile. Even in confusion and chaos, we understand. Even in betrayal, we trust. And even in pain, we love. Many can look back on life and remember when they didn't have a sense of direction, and it seemed like their life was getting ready to spiral out of control. It could have been when your parents or guardian or some other significant godly person in your life was gone in what seemed like a twinkling of an eye, and you stood confused with no sense of direction, but you chose to trust God. I remember when I was just beginning to understand life and be responsible, I had found my brothers and sisters. I had found and married my lovely, godly wife, and we had our daughter, and all of a sudden, my mother went home to be with the Lord. But I chose to continue to trust God. I could have sorrowed as others who have no hope and walked around in life confused and in despair. Philippians 4:6-7, Paul said, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. When you receive this appointment, my brothers and sisters, when you are in some type of trial, when you sin, when you're struggling with a certain sin, there are times when Satan will rush in and say things like, you are not right with God. God is mad at you. You are not really a saint or a believer. God has forsaken you. Don't go to God. He won't help you. Your ministry is not important. It's God's fault. Blame him. Satan will come in and make these lies. But remember, Satan is a liar. He will do anything he can to make you doubt God's love for you, his mercy, his grace, and his power. God is with you. God says, don't lean on your own understanding, which brings confusion and chaos, but instead trust in me. I got this. Satan seeks to bring confusion and devastation. Look at this world. It's in turmoil. Satan is the god of this world, and his goal is to keep the lost lost and the glorious gospel, the grace of God, hidden from whom? Hidden from them. 2 Corinthians 4:3-4 says, but if our gospel be hid, it's hidden to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Satan doesn't want the sinner to know that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again on the third day for their justification. And when they put their faith in the gospel, they have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Remember God, my brothers and sisters, remember that God and his word give us peace and clarity. Confusion and chaos comes when we forget the importance of God's word as our unwavering guide, my brothers and sisters. Remember, as you study God's word, God has a program for the earth and a program for the heaven. When you hear me speak of right division from the scriptures on this phone ministry, I'm speaking of the solution for spiritual confusion found in 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed by what? Rightly dividing the word of truth. If we use God's word, God's way, there will be no contradictions, no confusion. The Bible will only make sense to you if you approach it the way God designed it to be studied, and that is by right dividing the word of truth. That's what the Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 2:15. The only verse in the Bible to tell us to study. The Bible also tells us how to study. When we rightly divide the word of truth, we are recognized distinction, the division that God has made in his word through various dispensational sets of relational instructions. God gave a different instruction to various groups of people. For instance, compare the different dietary laws that God gave in Genesis 1:27-29, and 9:1-4, and Leviticus 11:2, and then 1 Timothy 4:3-5. We must never accept instructions in today's given to Israel under the law as though they were given to us Gentiles under grace. Confusion results when we mix or combine all of the Bible instruction given to various people as they were for all people of all ages. We don't today build an ark as God once instructed Noah. There are several dispensations in the Bible given to different people at various times. We must never confuse them. It is the failure to rightly divide the word of truth that give rise to all the seeming conflicting doctrines that were listed earlier. God has two programs for two God-ordained people groups in his word. We see this from the beginning of the Bible in Genesis 1. The very first verse in the Bible reads, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth." We must keep these programs in their dispensational setting. Kingdom program, nation of Israel, in time past, and the mystery program, the heaven, the body of Christ, in the but now, in the dispensation of grace. My brothers and sisters, last week, as we dealt with Mark 16, we had stepped into the teaching surrounding signs in the kingdom program. Last week I mentioned how Isaiah 53 predicted Jesus, 53 and 4, predicted Jesus, the long-awaited Messiah, healing ministry, the miraculous demonstrations that validated the gospel of the kingdom that he and his apostles preached, the sicknesses that brought Israel sorrow. Jesus came and healed them. Their infirmities that brought them grief, Jesus came and healed them. Please make special note that Jesus' earthly ministry of the healing miracles occurred before the cross, not at the cross or through the cross. Look what Jesus told the disciples in Matthew 10, 5 through 8. He said, "These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give." This is Israel's program. And in that program, these apostles would be able to heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. That's not happening today. Like I said, if anyone say they are doing those things, you run, my brothers and sisters. You run if they telling you they can raise the dead. If that's what they want to, if that's what they want to say, they're teaching, that's their doctrine, and you already tried to explain right the vision to them, you get on out of there. The question is why these disciples were able to do this, and this is where most people miss the most important point of Scripture and go off with a line of thinking that will not work in the dispensation of grace. Look at verse 1 of Matthew 10. "And when he had called unto him," you look at verse 1 of Matthew 10, "and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease." When studying God's word right divided, we must always ask who, what, when, where, and why. Who is this verse saying this directive or command was given to? And who was the recipient of this command? That's simple. Was God talking to us Gentiles in this verse? No, it was his 12 disciples, not you or me, but his disciples. We are the Gentiles in Scripture, if you didn't know. This is how we know his message wasn't to us Gentiles. Look again at Matthew 10, 5 through 6. "These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." He gave them power, my brothers and sisters. This verse say he gave everybody power in the world? The power? No. It specifically says these 12 disciples. So don't go putting yourself in Matthew 10 and 1. Verse 1, "when that command is not to you." Now look at the purpose for their power. to go up against unclean spirits and to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. You notice that? He said all manner of sickness, all manner of diseases. You see that? Notice it says all, not some sickness and diseases. If there was a healing program today, as in Matthew 10 here, the funeral home business would be out of business. You hear me? Because if we are following Matthew 10:1, there should be no sickness or diseases. But I see we have diabetes, heart problems, obese problems, blindness, arthritis, glaucoma, cancers of many types, all kind of blood disorders and diseases, all types of mental diseases, blood disease, and so many more diseases. If we are standing on Matthew 10:1, sickness and death should be in our world. God is doing something different today. If today's faith healers were really miraculous healing the sick, why are hospitals all around the world filled with sick and dying? Over 800,000 have died from COVID, my brothers and sisters. Why do we need health insurance? Why do the faith healers wear eyeglasses? And why do they visit doctors and undergo operations at the hospital? Why do the faith healers eventually die, succumbing to what? The ultimate disease, my brother Sith, death. Why do the faith healers die, my brothers and sisters? Because the Bible already told us what? Our outward man is perishing. It's going back to the dust, my brothers and sisters. This body's going to get sick. It's going to go through many changes before it goes back to the dust. My brothers and sisters, they are deceived, these faith healers, they are deceiving others. Whether they are delivered or unwittingly misleading others makes no difference. It is still deception and dishonoring to God's name and word. It only leads to disappointment, apostasy, and more confusion in the body of Christ. He gave them, the 12 disciples, power to heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, and cast out them. Why did they need this power to do these things? Belief, my brothers and sisters, these people that they were going to would not believe unless they see signs. Those Israelites would not believe unless they see signs. Look at what Jesus said in John 4:48. Then said Jesus unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. Dealing with the nation of Israel. You see that? He said, you will not believe. Paul says about the Jews, the nation of Israel, 1 Corinthians 1:22, for the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. Look at what Jesus said before raising Lazarus from the dead in John 11:42. During this earthly ministry, the kingdom program. Look at what he says in John 11:42. He said, I knew that thou hearest me always, talking to God the Father. He said, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe. You see that? That thou hast sent me, that I am the Messiah. You hear me? You see that? The long-awaited Messiah. You see that? He said that they may believe. I've been to many funerals, and I have never seen someone stand up and go up to the casket and raise the dead. My brothers and sisters, it didn't matter if Lazarus had been embalmed or not. The point was he was dead. The Jews needed to see signs and miracles in order to believe. That's not our program today in the dispensation of grace. We walk by faith, my brothers and sisters. We are not raising the dead, cleansing the lepers. Don't get caught up in it. Casting out spirits and healing all manner of sickness and disease. When God told Moses to go down and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt, what did Moses say to God? Y'all have seen, most everybody has seen the Ten Commandments. But Moses out there on the backside, talking to God, Let's look at this interaction between God and Moses, Exodus 4, 1 through 9. See, you always need your scripture, my brothers and sisters, to back up what we're talking about. You have that scripture, that doctrine, Exodus 4, 1 through 9. And Moses answered and said, but he's talking to God as God getting ready to send him down into Egypt to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. Behold, he talking about the children of Israel. They would not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. He said, for they would say, the Lord, Jehovah God, has not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, what is it in thy hand? He said to Moses. And he said, a rod. And God said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground. It became a serpent. And Moses fled from it. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thy hand and take it in by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, the serpent, and it became a rod in his hand again. That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared unto thee. You see that? These children of Israel, the same folks, this generation's later on, the same people that Jesus is dealing with in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Do you get that? Sign people, my brothers and sisters. Now here we go. Verse 6, and the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thy hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. Leprous is a picture of sin. I want you to know that. And then he said, put thy hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again, and he plucked it out of his bosom, and behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. And it shall, look at verse 8, and it shall come to pass. Look what God said, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign. You see that? That they would believe the voice of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass, if they would not believe also these two signs, neither hearken to thy voice, that thou shalt take of thee of the water of the river and pour it upon the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. Children of Israel, Jews, they were assigned people. So if you're messing around, there is nothing wrong in studying Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and the Old Testament scripture, but you must know who God is dealing with, my brothers and sisters, because you go snatching those scriptures, and then you saying you're going to claim it, and guess what? What you're claiming, guess what, never happens. Now you're disappointed, and you want to blame God, you see. The children of Israel were assigned people. God wasn't doing magical tricks with Moses and playing fun games. He knew, my brothers and sisters, that Moses would be dealing with unbelief with the children of Israel. Satan was the serpent in these verses, and Israel was in satanic captivity, my brothers and sisters. Exodus 4:29-31. Exodus 4:29-31. And Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. And Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses, and he did the signs in the sight of the people, and the people believe. You see that? And when they had heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, and that he had looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshiped. The sign program is a program that God gave specifically to the nation of Israel to confirm his word. You see that? We don't need signs to confirm the word. Walk by faith. We take God and what he says, my brothers and sisters. Signs were designed to confirm the word to the nation of Israel. Moses would be dealing with the corruption of sin and the corruption of Satan. The smorgasbord of confusion would have you thinking that you shouldn't get sick and that your healing happened at the cross. My brothers and sisters, let's park for a little while. With all the beliefs and confusion around the COVID virus, many that are confused today hold on to the doctrine of healing and the atonement, predicated upon Isaiah 53:5, Behind this belief and teaching that Jesus Christ purchased physical healing for us at Calvary, the word atonement obviously being Christ's sacrificial death. Is this really what the prophet Isaiah was saying in that famous passage? My brothers and sisters, is that really what he was saying? But that's going to be a great place for us to pick up the next time we come on, my brothers and sisters. My brothers and sisters, that's that verse where you hear folks talking about, by his stripes we are healed. My brothers and sisters, you hear folks say that many times. And guess what? They still run into their medicine cabinets. Huh? They still run into the doctors. Huh? They still going to get their surgeries when them doctors tell them you need surgery. But no, no. By your stripes we are healed. In my other words, does folks see how that look? Like I said, I remember a gentleman one time telling me he was going to help a lady with a healing, and there he was on a cane, barely could walk, talking about healing. You see that? Some folks don't know how they look when they be talking to folks that know God's word. Why are you talking about going to help someone with their healing? Here you go, you limping. I've got a cane. You see, my brothers, confusion and chaos from not rightly dividing God's word. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We pray as those who listen in tonight, we pray that they were edified, that they were encouraged. My Lord Jesus, in your word of truth, rightly divide tonight. Thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.